First Thessalonians chapter 2. Now you may wonder why we, every time I speak, we go over this same verse. But it's the old saying, education is repetition. You remember how you learned the alphabet? May I see the hands of all that saw the alphabet and knew it right away and didn't have to look anymore. I remember how I learned it. My dad put that chart on the wall and he said to me, "Now, Arthur, that is A. When I come home, you are to know A." The next day was B, and roughly 26 to 28 days, I knew them all. And that's why we go over the same text all the time. I've told you about the brother in New York. 2 weeks of gospel meetings. Every night he spoke from John 3:16 and every message was different. Can you do it? Oh, that's this book. You can't do it with any other book. 1 Thessalonians, please, chapter 2. Verse 13, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because you heard the word, because you received the word of God, which you heard of us. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God." And this book differs from every other book. Books are written to inform. This one is written to transform. Check that out when you go home. Books inform. But this is the only book on earth that will transform. The Word of God. Psalm 19, from which we get our text. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 9. And we have seen that each of these descriptions here is a description of the Word of God in a different aspect. Verse 7, the law of the Lord. The Word of God is a law to be obeyed, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord. That's another aspect of the Word of God. It testifies to us of God's will and mind. Testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. There's an old question. You remember the question? No, you all are too young. But one of the questions with us when we finished high school, which was best? A trip around the world, 4 years in college, or a year of Bible school? Which would you come out with most profit? How about it? Think about that when you go home. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes, and that is where we are today, or precepts or teachings of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And today we want to focus on the statutes, the teachings, rejoice the heart. Now, we must make a difference. There is a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness depends upon the circumstances. And when you have a flat tire on your car, you're not happy. But you can still have joy. And that is what we want to look in today. The statutes from the Lord cause one to rejoice. I'm going to ask you to look with me, please, at a few verses that bear this out. Psalm 119. Verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. Is that true? Beloved, do you rejoice in the word of God? Or would you rather have $1 million? Which is it? Verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight. Oh. Do you delight in the word of the Lord? Verse 54. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. Verse 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. Verse 143. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. Oh, the word of God as a source of joy, not happiness, joy. Turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 16. The word of God as a source of joy. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by fortune-telling, soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. This she did many days, but Paul grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. When her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to their rulers. Brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates dragged off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison. Any joy in that? Charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. My, my, my. You know what the stocks are? It's an interesting arrangement. Let me just step forward here. It's a large piece of wood like this, one piece. You put two holes in the bottom and put the ankles through, and then seal those holes, and that's a very uncomfortable position. That's the stocks. Step one. Step two, you put two holes up here and put the wrist through those two holes, and step three, you put a hole up here and put the person's neck through those holes, through that hole. That's the stocks. Imagine you being in the stocks. Would you be happy? Well, let's read on. Verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. I'm sure if we were in the stocks, we'd pray. But look at the next expression. And sang praises unto God. They were in the stocks, and they sang a duet. That's what I'm talking about. The joy of the Lord. That's the basis of our joy. The word of the Lord. Not situations, not conditions. These men were in the stocks. Whether their necks and their wrists were held, we don't know. But we know that their feet were there. And that can be very uncomfortable. And there they are in the stocks, can't move their feet, can't get away, and they sang a duet. What would you do? I think most of us have become, oh Lord, why am I here? Why did you let this happen to me? But there in the midst of most unpleasant circumstances, they sang a duet. Let's read on. Suddenly, verse 26, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. What a great God we have. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm. We are all here." Then he called for a light, sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." They spake unto him the word of the Lord. They were in the stocks. They spake unto him the word of the Lord. The joy of the Lord was their portion. The word of God is our source of joy, regardless of circumstances. Verse 33, he took them the same hour of night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Joy in the midst of unpleasant circumstances. Paul wrote four epistles, and they are called prison epistles. He wrote them when he was in prison. Now, don't open your Bibles. The epistle to the Ephesians, as you recall it, do you get the impression that Paul was in prison? As you read the epistle to the Ephesians, do you get the impression that he was in prison? You read the epistle to the Philippians. Let this mind be in you. Do you get the impression that he was in prison, writhing? You read the epistle to the Colossians. Do all things with heartily as unto the Lord. Do you get the impression this is a man in prison in the stocks? And he wrote the epistle to Philemon. And when you read those, they are prison epistles. He wrote them when he was in prison, but if you read them, you'd never know that he was in prison. Many years ago, 1950 to be exact, my father died. And you know how it is. Dear ones come to express sympathy and so forth. And an associate of mine came to express sympathy. Nice fellow. Oh, he was like Cornelius. He was a very fine person. But he belonged to that Riverside Church in New York City. Hotbed of infidelity, all false religions, humanism. And he came to my mother and he said, "Mrs. Garnes, it is at times like these that your civilization comes to your rescue." Have you ever heard anything like that? You take today's civilization, terrorism, suicide bombers. I have listed a number of things here, I won't go through them all. Crime. All these things, the result of civilization. It seems to me that civilization needs to be rescued rather than the rescuing somebody else. But oh, I sat there and I felt so good. You know what my mother said? "Doctor, I am not depending on civilization, I'm depending on God." And I said to myself, "Amen, give it to him, mother." In the midst of sorrow, in the midst of unfavorable circumstances, depending on God. Joy in the Lord. I remember another incident. This was years ago. Now, all through my life, two books in the Bible have attracted me more than any others: the book of Daniel and the book of the Revelation. And at that time, I was studying the book of the Revelation. And I came across a verse in the book of the Revelation. I couldn't connect it with the verse before or with the verse after. And I was 3 months on that study, trying to make the connection. And this particular morning, and if you know New York City, you'll understand what I mean, I drove to hospital number one and parked the car. Now, in New York City at that time, if you were parked there, you stayed there. Because if you left and came back, you wouldn't find your parking spot. So I left the car here and took public transportation to hospital number two. And all the while meditating on this verse. What does this verse mean? 3 months working on this verse, reading commentaries. Oh, I read all the commentaries. I got to a busy highway, like 270 out here. And I was crossing the busy highway. And what do you think happened? In the middle of the highway, the Lord showed me the meaning of the verse. I took up my notebook, stood up in the highway, and started to write. And I'm sure the passersby must have said, that man's crazy. And then I went to hospital number two, on what I would call the light fantastic tour. Such joy when God showed me the meaning of that verse. Then I came from hospital number two back to hospital number one, drove to the office, went home that night, and my wife asked, "You seem unusually happy." I said, "I am. The Lord had showed me the meaning of that verse. Joy found in the Word of God." The story is told, and I'm sure most of us have sung this hymn. Oh, I should have it here somewhere. But this was, yes, here it is. The story of George Matheson in England. As a young man, he had very poor eyesight. And as he advanced, his eyesight became worse and worse. But he had two sisters, and they read to him. And he had such a mind that he was able to complete higher education and came out as a preacher. Very often he would turn the pages he couldn't see, but he had memorized the particular passage. He fell in love, and the young lady fell in love with him. And when she learned that he was going blind, she broke the engagement. "I don't want to marry a blind man." That's hurtful, isn't it? George Matheson turned to the book of Jeremiah. "I have loved thee with an everlasting love," and composed the hymn, "O love that will not let me go." Rejoicing in the Word of God in spite of circumstances. And I think of another brother, Arthur Clark. I met him in 1975 in Bermuda. Oh, he was an interesting brother. And one evening he said, "Would you like to go for a British walk?" Like thinking you're walking. British walk like everybody else. And so I'd be glad to. And the next morning he came, we had breakfast, he said, "Brother, let's go." And he put his hands up like this. And he was sprinting. And the only way I could stop him was to stop and ask, "What is this?" He knew the vegetation of Bermuda well. And I would stop and ask him for this. He'd go a little distance and I'd stop and ask him. But the story about Clark, Arthur Clark, is this. He and his family were missionaries from England to China. And while he was in China, the communists took over and arrested him and his family. Not pleasant, huh? They sent his family back to England and put him in solitary confinement. Now, what I'm telling you is what he told me. I didn't read it in the book. Solitary confinement. Damp. Uncomfortable. Poor food. Little water. Rats, he told me, ran not only on the floor, but across him. How's that? What would you do? The man in the cell next to him on the left committed suicide. The man in the cell on the right lost his mind, went crazy. What happened to Arthur Clark? Arthur Clark asked the guard, "Let me have my Bible, a notebook, and a pen." 3 months in solitary confinement. For years, he wanted to write a commentary on the Psalms. And there, under miserable conditions, he wrote a commentary on the Psalms, and I recommend it to you. It's one of the best. Joy in the Word of the Lord. John Bunyan. We've all read John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress. He was put in jail. And why do you think they jailed him? Because he was preaching without a license. He didn't go to the higher schools and get those fancy false degrees behind his name. He just took the book and went out preaching. And they arrested him for preaching without a license. Kept him in prison for 12 years. And while he was in prison, he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Most many of you have read it. Comfortable? No. Miserable? Yes. But joy in the Lord. And I think of John. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1, please. The word of the Lord is our source of joy. Verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And he was isolated, abandoned, and abolished to the isle of Patmos. 10 miles by 6 miles, no trees, and very rough terrain. How are you supposed to exist there? That wasn't a pleasant place to be. Imagine a place, no greenery. You see, no greenery at all. All you see is rocks. Food supply? Well, there was no genuine food supply, but you ate what you could find. And there, the Apostle John wrote the book of the Revelation. My, my, my. Circumstances, poor. But meditating on the word of God, he had joy. One little thing. Many of your Bibles say the revelation of John the Divine. That's wrong. Cross it off. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you get that in verse 1 of chapter 1. And there on this island, uncomfortable, no companionship, God spoke to him and he wrote the book of the Revelation. Joy from the Word of God. And beloved, you find yourselves very often in terrible circumstances, unpleasant circumstances, resort to the book. You find comfort in the book. I think of an old sister in New York, Sister Beckles, elderly lady, both legs amputated above the knee. Is that pleasant? And one day she called me and she said to me, "I cannot come to you, please come to me." Oh, I remember the day. It was a hot day in August. And when it's hot in New York City, beloved, it's hot. I believe the only hotter place would be Hades itself. The sun beaming down and the heat reflected from the tar and the cement. And she asked me to come and see her. And it's an interesting thing, you know. Whenever you had to go to an apartment on the first floor or the second floor, the house had elevators. But when you had to walk up to the fourth floor, there were no elevators. Very strange coincidence. And on this hot day, I had to walk up those stairs to the fourth floor. And her daughter let me in. And there was Mrs. Beckles, as I said, both legs amputated above the knee, sitting in her bedroom. She said to me, "Come in, brother. I have a word for you." Put on those thick glasses, took that big enlarged print Bible, and talked for 1.5 hour. I was refreshed not only physically from sitting, but spiritually also. And when she finished, she said, "Brother, I'm finished. You go ahead." Her joy was in the Lord. And her joy was so great that, you remember what Ruth did? Ruth ate at Boaz, had some left over, and took home to Naomi. And she had that morning read the Word of God, gotten something for herself, and had enough left over for me. The joy of the Lord. 1 Kings, please, chapter 22. Verse 27. The joy that we derive from the Word of God, regardless of circumstances. The Word of God does not depend on circumstance. It depends on itself. It's the Word of God. Chapter 22, verse 27. And I suggest when you get home that you read this entire chapter. Say, thus saith the king, put this fellow, Micaiah, in prison, feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. That's what the king said. You take care of him, treat him unkindly, I'll take care of him further when I come back. What did Micaiah say? Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And that king never came back in peace. And what kept Micaiah going, strong, happy? The word of the Lord. And we all have problems. You know, the Lord said, in the world you're going to have testings, tribulations, trials, and problems. He told us that. But I have overcome the world. And in the midst of these testings and trials, beloved, whatever they may be, look to the Word. Look to the Word. And you'll find comfort. Jeremiah chapter 15, please. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. And this is the closing thought. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Oh, beloved, let that be true of all of us. In spite of circumstances, let this word be our joy. A closing incident. How do you manage to live here? Inquired a minister of an old poverty-stricken pilgrim, as this man sat in his forlorn and leaking cottage. Here is a child of God in a leaking cottage, damp, I might say miserable. How do you manage to live here? The aged man replied, with his Bible on his knee, Sir, I am sitting under the shadow of Jesus with great delight, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. Can you say that? The Word of God, the source of rejoicing. May it be our source of rejoicing, regardless of the circumstances. Go by the book. And to you young ones, I see you here. Many of you are in school. Go by the book. You'll never regret it. You will always find a source of rejoicing. I've told you this, I tell you again. In my first year at medical school, there was one fellow there who did not take favorably to me. Oh, he was a big 6'3" fellow, football player, and oh. The second year, I lived in the dormitory with him. We got on a first name basis. You know what he said to me? Arthur, I hated you so much I could have killed you. The book. Thank God I went by the book. And when graduation day came, his mother was at the other side of the acreage. He waved to me, told me to stay where I was, brought his mother amidst the crowd. He was well known, football champion. Brought his mother to me and said, Mother, I want you to meet Arthur Collins. What did it? The book. Beloved, I recommend to you the Word of God. Don't only read it, live it. Question was once asked, what's the best version of the Bible? And there are all kinds of Bibles, all different versions. Every 2 years, a new version comes out. What's the best version? Anybody? A believer who is living it. That's the best version of the Bible. I'm finished. I'm through. Just let's sing together, please, that theme song of ours, the B-I-B-L-E. I believe it's 222. Yes. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. must stand alone on the word of God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence. We give thee thanks for who thou art. We give thee thanks for salvation. We give thee thanks for our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thee thanks for thy precious word, into which we can look and have joy in our souls. We thank thee for the time that we have spent together here this day, remembering the Lord, reviewing thy precious word. And now as we dismiss, take us each one to our respective places of abode in peace and safety, we pray, as we ask all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.